February the 15th. Joining us this morning, are you done playing with a microphone, man?
I'm just getting it set up here, buddy.
Alrighty. Ryan Sundberg. Good morning, sir.
How are you doing?
Oh, we'll know better in about 40 minutes now, won't we?
Okay.
Our quote this morning, it is an anonymous one, but it's a handwritten one. So that kind of helps to balance out. When you protest everything, you protest nothing. Are you guys getting a lot of commentary?
Yeah, we, I don't know about the rest of the board, but I get quite a few emails, and I just, see all this stuff on Facebook, and it made me think of, you kind of have to, one of my sayings is you got to pick your battles, and I think
it's more of a survival mode, but okay, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's, I think if you do that, then when you do say something or you do kind of, get a little bit more animated, people go, oh, there's something serious. But if you're always animated or everything makes you mad, then it's
if you're running 100 miles an hour all the time, it's tough to tell what's important.
Yeah. So, it's hard to, between fake news and protests and stuff going around on Facebook, it's like you can't even trust anything anymore. It's really crazy. I mean, even some of the major news sites, I find myself, I'm like not even believing it when I, used to just be able to read it and you're like, okay, it's fact. Now you don't know. It's really a strange time.
Fake news. Didn't they call that lying before?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, I think, probably one of the bigger challenges. And you probably have got it to a certain extent. Staff, public, regular folks. Everybody's coming from a perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We even lock up every once in a while. Different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To know what is fact, pure fact, and what has been interpreted.
Well, there's a big difference between perspective and then someone just not saying something that's true. It's like, because we could take the same thing.
We got liars. Okay, we'll just do that. And then the guys who take.
But the stuff I'm seeing is just
one kernel
not,
and spin it. Okay, that's the same as lying for me. But
the
basic, and then here's my interpretation of it. Okay,
if it's I can handle that.
No sweat.
Yeah. And most of the time, we encourage that. The board
staff
is always
reports, right?
Looking for.
We
want public input. So we'll go try and find that. And what do people think about something? And you get quite a few different takes on that. But it's good to hear it from because sometimes what I think is something is not what other people think. And I'm like, oh, that's a different way to look at it, and it's helpful.
Well, I wouldn't imagine you can't cast it in concrete necessarily just because you didn't give different perspectives from the various areas within the county.
Mm-hmm.
What is rock solid locked down in the 5th could be seen as frivolous in the 1st.
Or
same application.
Or
a little different.
In my district, from the coast to the inland, it's, massively different sometimes also.
Massively.
Massive. Bigly.
That's a big word. You've been studying. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Supervisor Sundberg.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, the concept of information sharing, I mean, that's what you're looking for. That's what you're wanting. You want opinion how do you separate opinion fact from fact fact?
Well, usually if it's a different than mind, it, no. That's a good question. I guess your instincts. Sometimes I'll get an email or a phone call, and I'll ask other people if they know who the person is. Or I find myself Googling people a lot to see what other letters to the editor have they written, and you know, if I really want to know. And it's, you know, in this day and age, it's a little easier to find out what's
what. Block 14?
Yeah. That's funny you say that, because we do get letters from the jail, and you don't know it's from the jail until you start reading it, and then I'm like, well, this person's from the jail. And usually they're really long. It's like 5 pages long. I'm like, oh, is this the jail person?
But when you get information, you know, there are various sources you're going to have more personal trust in, mm-hmm. than others. You were alluding to it with some of the national news. Yeah, okay. But you still rely on individuals to provide the information or the interpretation, maybe boil it from that 800-page document down to a 5-page cover summary. Yeah. How do you determine whether or not this is somebody you have faith and trust in their interpretation on?
Well, if they haven't ever done something to make me think that they are not being completely truthful, then I would tend to trust them. And we have a pretty engaged public here also. And so if you're referring to like a staff report or something like that, then
a federal report that I stumbled on that I think is really either really cool or really off the wall, but either way, I want my supervisor to be aware of it and act accordingly.
Yeah, no, you can usually look into it and see what's up. And you know, my name's in for the Coastal Commission right now, so I've been doing quite a bit of research on all that. And I saw a thing on Facebook the other day that caught my eye, was that there was a bill in for low-income people to be able to take vacations to the beach, and they wanted the public to pay for it. And it seemed like kind of out there a little bit. And so I didn't know. I'm like, is that true? Someone had posted it. And so I dug into it and found the bill, and the person that's a politician from San Diego. And it was true. They've got a bill in right now. So, and,
hopefully you fired off a little letter to McGuire.
I haven't done anything, no. But it was interesting that, you know, and that's one that I thought was probably fake, and it ended up being not fake. So as far as I could tell anyways, I found some reputable sources that I thought it was true.
You guys don't have anything that pending in the county budget, do you?
Nothing that I would tell you about.
Okay. It's still cloistered, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, we buried it under a couple other items, yeah. So you you would never know. Yeah. We'll find it out. You'll find that out when I'm not on Talk Shop.
Right. Yeah. After it's voted in.
Huh? Yeah. Okay. When it's too late, then I'll let you know.
How about the flip side? The guys that tend to give you grief or find things that are, you always take with a grain of salt. Do you give them same amount of opportunity to do the research, to find out what's going on for that one time or those two times a year when they really do hit on something that needs to be paid attention to?
Who? Boy, that's mean, huh?
Sometimes the truth hurts.
You know what? To tell you be honest with you, no. I mean,
Craig Wolf.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have that much energy, you know, and I've got a limited amount of time, and I need to manage that time efficiently. And if I am chasing down 100 things to find 2 nuggets of, wow, that was really good, I don't think that's a good use of my time. And I can focus on people who need help and have, you know, real issues, and that's just how I choose to do it. But I,
so with that as a backdrop,
I don't know how politically correct that is, but that's honest.
I can't spell PC. It doesn't matter, right? When you have the public meetings and you've got all these folks and you don't know left or right or up or down, or you haven't seen them before, everybody has the same playing field?
Yeah, when they start. And then some of them will get into you people. That is, we could do like a 101 on how to communicate with a board of supervisors.
And or how not
don't,
to.
Don't start it with you people or, you know, other thing. It's some.
Well, now they may have recognition that you're a McKinleyville native. Well, I could understand you people.
Okay. I see where you're going.
Being
with
a
this.
Eurekan.
Yeah. You people. Yeah, it's pretty.
But by and large,
sometimes
how you present
just,
the information is as critical as the information itself.
Yeah, yeah. And I wish people would take the time to write out their thoughts. You know, because if you write out your thoughts, you usually are much more cogent. And it helps us to be able to read it afterwards also. And, you know, because sometimes there's a lot going on at a board meeting, and we'll try and pay attention and, you know, take down notes of what you're saying. And then you've got 3 minutes, and some people get nervous when they get up and try and speak in public. And so it's helpful if people just write out their comments. I think they get them, you know, it's much more clear. We can review it afterwards, and, you know, they don't have to worry about missing anything while they're talking. So it's, you know,
being
there's
focused
a
focus is always good.
Yeah.
It's 8:30.
The basics, right?
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. Talk Shop presented this morning with Mr. Sundberg by CDH Painting and by Redeck. Ryan, the budget, I know it's still a little bit early. I know you guys are going to do the road tour here a little bit, try to get all 30 or 35 folks who show up the comments. Are there better ways to do a budget than the way that happens in Humboldt County?
So that is a very good question, because we asked the exact same one, and we're doing things different
this year.
All right,
who's been reading my mind?
Not me.
It's a short book,
yeah,
and there's lots of pictures, but
yeah,
was it you?
That was me. No.
You have to pay attention to the other four a little bit closer, though.
You know, we've been doing this, the countywide budget, where it's on TV and, you know, all that, and we all were asking, you know, this, you know, kind of a, it was a great concept when it came out, and has it run its course? We're getting five people at each one. You know, how much staff time goes into this, and how much does it cost us? And so we went through all that with our CAO and decided that we were going to change it up this year. And so what we're going to do is we'll have some satellite budget meetings, and then we'll all come back for one big one and bring that information back. And then Supervisor Fennell and I are going to do something in our districts for the, like, she'll probably do one in Fortuna, I'll do one in McKinleyville on our own, kind of to get input in.
So they, you have a couple of hot dog barbecues and have people gather and talk about the budget? I mean, that kind of a more casual rather than formal.
Please lower your expectations here.
Twinkies? Tootsie Rolls?
I'll be there.
I can't. I see leftovers.
Now I'm going to have to go buy hot dogs, dang it. Thanks a lot. we'll go get that input somehow in the next month or two, and then we'll go from there. But I think that the staff at CAO's office did something pretty smart the other day, and I saw it on a couple of Facebook posts. Is they, you know, because we were trying to find a hook into the budget and how do we get people there? How do we get people excited about it and want to participate? And so they said the Measure S, the cannabis tax, is going to be on this budget, and it's going to be, you know, a certain amount of millions of dollars. And we want to know what you think about that and come give your input. And so I think I've seen so much more action about the budget than ever, you know, so hopefully that'll get some more people there. And we do need to know this is a brand new tax, and we're going to have to figure out how to, you know, what are the priorities on where that money goes.
Now, in a former program, I recall a certain supervisor out of the 5th saying that that was supposed to offset the enforcement thereof, and it was a revenue neutral. Code enforcement, public works, building and planning, the different guys.
You can go back and replay it, but
No, that's too much effort. You know that report?
I don't think.
My memory faulty.
I don't ever remember saying revenue neutral.
So it can be a profit center?
Yeah, so I think you're confusing it with the permits. The permits have to be revenue neutral, and you can't make money off permits because it would be a tax. If you do a tax, it has to go out to the voters.
Okay.
We went out to the voters through Measure S. It passed, so we can tax now. And so that's what Measure S is we're going to, you know, this first next year, the one we're budgeting for right now, is supposed to be $4.4 million or something like that.
And that's retail sales tax?
No, it's per square foot. It's the 1-2-3 per square foot.
Right.
And, you know, they always budget very conservatively. And so those numbers, the 4.4 million is what we know we're going to get, not what we hope we're going to get, you know, because it's
Let's say you have $1 million. Okay, so it's $5 million. Is each supervisor going to get one to play with in their district, or is this $5 million for the county? It's just a philosophical approach.
I think that we make an attempt to make it fair across the districts, but there's going to be, you know, one of the things you said at the very beginning was that we wanted to do help with enforcement, and, you know, people who aren't getting permits, we want to encourage them to be permitted or, you know, deal with them somehow. And how are you going to do that in the 4th district, right? And so it may be.
Oh, now wait. Being in the 4th, you don't think that there's some grow houses in the 4th?
I'm sure there's some grow houses
that could handle a little bit of reinforcement.
Yeah, but it's not going to be like it is in other districts where there's a, you know, it takes forever to get out there, and they're, you know,
granted,
a couple acres big, and they need a lot of attention, right? For some big environmental impacts. So there's going to be some. It's not going to be all.
You've thought about this, haven't you?
Well, it's just not going to be completely fair, but maybe if, say, roads is part of Measure S, then maybe the 4th District can upgrade some roads instead of having all enforced. You know, so this is what we need to go to the public about, is how do you, you know, what do you guys think this should be prioritized for? And we have what was in the ballot initiative, so we need to stay with that, but we made it very, you know, we made it open enough.
Yeah.
That we, you know, it's for county services, and county service, you know, the county does a lot. And so we can, you know, I've heard things from like drug rehab to roads to enforcement to maybe some kind of
economic development.
Yeah, economic development. So there's, you know, there's things that we can definitely do, and those numbers could be big in the future if, you know, depending on
if the right economic development is supported. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, so the processing of all these permits that are going on, how's the county doing?
They're chugging along. One of the things that we did a while back was that we separated the planning department into two different areas, and so the cannabis permits are separated from.
They're out in the tent.
No,
the other guys are in the office.
different staffs.
Oh,
and so they collected somewhere around $4 million or so in permit fees for the ones who have applied. You know, the 2,200 and whatever that applied. We've collected the permit fees for those, but that goes into a trust fund that pays for that staff over the time that they work on these permits. And so some people will not use all that money that's in there that they paid as a deposit, and we'll refund them back whatever they don't use. And so...
Well, it sounds like a bookkeeping nightmare.
It's what you have to do to make sure that, you know, if you're keeping more than what it costs, it's considered a tax in California, and you need to go out for a vote to see if the voters approve. So it's illegal to make money on fees. So we've separated out the cannabis permits from the regular permits. And so that is going to make sure that people who have like an addition on their house or want to put a permit in to build a new house, those kinds of things go through faster or go through normally, and they're not getting bogged down by
the other stuff.
Get behind a bunch of other permits that it may take a while. And so I think that's going to make a big difference. But they're definitely going on a lot faster now.
So with the use of these dollars, you said roads. I think every district in the county has a road list, you know, whether or not you guys know of it, or whether it's Public Works that knows of it. Everybody's got a list, I'm sure, that could suck it up, you know, five times over.
Yeah.
Would it be simple enough just to say roads and not get involved with all the minutia and the detail and pitting one neighborhood against another neighborhood or one user group, one beneficiary group from another beneficiary group with these dollars? What's going to be more important?
That would definitely be the more simple way to do it, but I think that'd be highly unpopular.
Well, unless you happen to have a road issue. Roads versus treatment. Okay, both are going to have very strong, viable arguments.
Uh-huh.
What affects the community more? Both have very strong, viable arguments. How do you not win, or you do both halfway, and then everybody loses?
Well, I don't know that, so I don't know what the answer to that is. Is that true or not? I don't know. You know, I know that we offered some money up from Measure Z for treatment, and I think it was like $300,000, and that would go a long ways. You know, and the original request was much more than that, but we found out, they can still, instead of purchasing the building, they can put a down payment on the building, right? And so there's other, you know, the whole amount isn't always necessarily the amount that you have to work with to make an impact. And from everything I've heard so far is that there's a range of things that people think that the Measure S should be spent on. And we'll find out more when we go and do our roadshow. But hopefully people will get engaged. And I know I put something out on Facebook, letting people know this is coming up, or they want to comment, here's my email, and we collect all those and try to keep your ear to the ground and figure out what's going on.
Present your ideas politely, though. Thanks for coming by.
you want it heard.
See y'all tomorrow.